Welcome to the Coder Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about React 16. So the very first beta has been announced, and this has been, well, feels a long time coming. And the main thing about this is it's because it's basically been a complete rewrite of React Core. You might have heard of this being kind of codenamed Fiber, and there's a lot of interesting things that have been done. So this is a few of the goals here. I've got a link to this issue, which is kind of outlining everything I'm talking about here. So I'm just kind of taking bits from that. So basically, they removed all the old internal abstractions that didn't age well and hindered internal changes. Let them ship some of the most requested features, like returning arrays from render. I'm really happy about this one. Recovering from component errors, and that's, I believe, using boundaries and things like that, which is really nice. Enable us to start experimenting with asynchronous rendering of components for better perceived performance. The perceived performance is probably the most interesting part. And they're saying that this initial React 16 release is mostly focused on compatibility with existing apps. It does not enable asynchronous rendering yet. We will introduce an opt-in to the async mode later during React 16. We don't expect React 16 to make your app significantly faster or slower, but we'd love to know if you see improvements or regression. So this is very much getting it out there, seeing how it goes in a more of a real-world context. I believe this would have been tested pretty heavily within Facebook internally before the beta came out, but now they're going to the rest of the world to kind of get a more of a real world outside the Facebook bubble kind of experimentation, I guess, or trial, and see how that goes. So how can you kind of get this started? So just using the next tag when you're doing your yarn add or npm install. So for example, you want React to be like yarn add react at next, and of course you can then add the React DOM as well, so React dash DOM at next, and you'll be able to use that there. Also, there is a link in the show notes that I've posted to who was it? Ives Van Horn. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry. Code Sandbox. There's a link to Code Sandbox, which is a great place to try out your React applications. And there's a React 16 there ready for you to go and play around with. You have to use the link. I don't think there's any other way to get to that, but try it out, have a look. Some interesting things, some basic examples documented there, like the error boundaries rather, and things like that. So really nice to see and get an understanding of what these new main features are and any kind of performance difference you may see. So what are the points of interest here? So this is a complete rewrite of React. They expect it to work the existing code. If you fix all the deprecations and warnings that were introduced in the 15 series, so 15.x, then the beta 16 should work. So just naturally or in generally, you should really try and fix warnings as soon as they come up, because they can cause you some issues with upgrading in the future. Most of them are generally deprecation warnings, but you might find some other things that you've missed as well. So it's really good just to stay on top of those. Third-party libraries that relied on deprecated, unsupported APIs may need updates to work correctly with this new release. So now is a really good time to file issues against those libraries. We're particularly interested in hearing about performance differences, you notice, between 15 and 16. And they're saying that we don't expect any massive changes, but would love to know about improvements or regressions. Really, really important if you are trying this out, give as much feedback as possible, and this helps make it a lot better. And of course, try and include an example repo if you can as well. Like, that can be really handy and really helpful for anyone who wants to kind of see or be able to actually use some kind of physical, well, I suppose not physical, but some actual reproducible code base that they don't have to go and manually set up themselves. So that's nice. Server rendering has been completely rewritten and now offers a streaming mode. It's currently exposed via React DOM slash node dash stream. So server rendering does not use markup validation anymore, instead tries its best to match to existing DOM, warning about inconsistencies. This server renderer code is still very new, so it's likely to have issues, and they want you to report them if possible. This one's pretty interesting. I think this is one that is really going to be a bit of a game changer in terms of being able to have a streaming mode. I'll talk about more of that once I learn a little bit more about it and as it develops, and I think it could be really, really interesting. React Native follows a different release cycle and will update to the beta in a future release. It's already using an alpha release, but not using Fiber. So if you're a React Native developer, it'll be coming, but it's just a bit behind. I'd say that's as expected. Now, breaking changes. Now, this is probably pretty important to know and read before you go ahead and do anything. So previously, runtime errors used to put React into a broken state and produce cryptic errors. That just sounds like JavaScript in general, doesn't it? So React 16 fixes this by introducing a special kind of components called error boundaries. So error boundaries can catch runtime errors in a component tree, log them, and display a fallback UI instead. Now, you might think, what about a try and a catch? This is going a bit more because your try and catch usually encapsulate in the component, whereas this you can wrap around components. Really, really nice. You really have to check out the docs and see how that works. It's quite an interesting concept. I haven't actually played around with it. I've just been reading through the docs and seeing how that goes. So if there is an uncaught error in a component and there is no error boundary up in the tree, the whole component tree will be unmounted. This helps avoid very nasty bugs where the UI has been corrupted due to an error, but it means that you need to add a few more error boundaries to your app to handle the errors gracefully. Next up, React 15 had a very limited undocumented support for error boundaries with a different method name. It used to be called unstable underscore handle error. But it has been renamed to component did catch. So there's a couple of new APIs or API changes there you'll have to be aware of. So that's kind of it. There are some known issues. I highly recommend just going through the list of those. There's not too many. It's like a handful or so. And the add-ons perf, if you're looking to do any performance stuff, that will work. Will not work in React 16. But it will be coming. So just a note there with the performance stuff that you definitely need to go and check, as well as any other third-party plugins or modules that you use, that you check that they're, one, up to date, and two, that there may be some issues there. But this release is really exciting. It's good to see that the beta's finally here. It seems like Fiber's been coming for ages. Is it ready yet? Probably not, but it certainly is. It's getting close to being there, and this first public beta is certainly a big step forward to that, and I think it won't be too long before we see a full React 16 release in the near future. But I'd love to know your thoughts. Are you excited about the Fiber release? Have you been playing around with this already? Because when I'm recording this, it's only been announced, I think, a day. But when this comes out, it'll probably be 4 or 5 days later. So I'd love to know what your thoughts are. Have you played around with it? Have you found any issues? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Have you played around with the error boundaries? I'd really love to know. Send through a tweet to @CodeCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email through to CodeCatchUp@gmail.com or go to CodeCatchUp.com for this episode and leave a comment. Of course, if you're listening to this on YouTube, and if you don't know about the YouTube channel, go and check it out. But leave a comment in the comment section below. Otherwise, if you're on iTunes or some other kind of podcatcher, go to CodeCatchUp.com and leave a comment for this episode. If you are on YouTube, please leave a like and a subscribe if you're enjoying the podcast. And if you're on iTunes, a rating and review would be awesome. But other than that, we'll catch you in the next episode.